Really glad that you're here with us. We last time I was with you, we were talking about a series of lessons we're in the middle of, and it's based on a quote from Dr. Billy Graham, who you've probably heard of before. Dr. Billy Graham's a Southern Baptist preacher. He's in his late 90s right now, probably, you know, just a little while away from seeing Jesus. Lived an amazing life. He's affected and sat with presidents and different country leaders, probably one of the most prominent evangelists of our generation. And he said this, a quote that we've been kind of going off of for the last couple of weeks. This was a quote from him. He said, "There are seven gifts God gives you when you commit your life to Christ." He said, "A new relationship, a new citizenship, a new family, a new purpose, a new power, a new destiny, and a new journey." We've been kind of going all around this for the last couple of weeks, and so we want to just pick up. We want to kind of do some quick review. And sometimes when I get in the review mode, we get stuck. I kind of got stuck in the first service and I didn't get anywhere kind of where I wanted to go, but I guess that's okay. So we'll just kind of see where we go today. Is that all right? It's kind of like reading a book. I don't know if y'all ever read a book. that's not a good thing. Anybody ever read a book? That was a real stupid question. Forgive me. But you read a book and you're reading part of it and you kind of, I don't know what I do is I either put a pen where I stopped or I fold the page. I know you're not supposed to fold the page. We got any people that get upset with the fold page people? That's me. You fold the page and then they go, "Why'd you put the dog ear on the page?" Anyway, that's me. And so, you know, then you go back and that's where you're supposed to start. But then all of a sudden you go, "Well, I want to kind of make sure I remember where I was, so I'll go back and read the previous chapter." So that's kind of where we're going to go. We're going to kind of review kind of where we've been. We'll get everybody caught up, and we'll get on the same page with some thoughts that Billy Graham said, because I think they're real important. We said, number one, what he has said is that one of the first gifts that God gives you when you commit your life to Jesus Christ is that you enter into a new relationship. Come on, say that with me, a new relationship. We read a quote by a pastor, a Presbyterian pastor, I think that was really important. And part of the quote said that it's really interesting when Jesus came on the scene. Jesus came on the scene and he introduced us to this person called the Father. He didn't call God. Every prayer that he prayed, he talked and talked about him as Father. And so this relationship that we talked about at length the last time I was with you, and I think the time before as well, was that we must understand that the new relationship that every person has access to is that you can know God as Father, as intimate, as connected, as that one is very interested in knowing everything about you as he does, but wants you to know him, wants you to understand him, wants you to say, understanding your part to play, that he wants to spend time with you, that he wants you to read his word, that he wants to talk to you as you read the word, because his word, that word that called the Bible, is his thoughts. And so if you want to get to know a person, you've got to spend time with the person. It's impossible to know a person without spending time with them. So the time, number one, you spend reading the Word is spending understanding who this person, God the Father, is. That you have a new relationship. That it's not distant. It's not, he doesn't know me. He doesn't care about me. Maybe you're in an environment and you were raised where maybe you were born in a family with a mom and a dad and they were in the family and there they were, but you had no relationship with your father. He was a father figure, but he really wasn't a father. I hate that if that's what you were born in. Maybe you were born in a family where you didn't even know your father at all. He was completely out of the picture. I'm sorry that was how you were brought up. But what you cannot do for your sake, for your benefit, is you cannot view now the relationship you're supposed to have with the Father God as being the same as your natural or earthly father. He loves you. He's passionately wanting relationship with you. He desires to spend time with you. He wants to talk to you about everything. Listen, everything. Not just spiritual things. He wants to talk to you about your relationships. He's interested in talking to you about what your career choice is going to be, because he knows what's best for you. And so what he's just saying is, can I say it this way so humanistically that it might freak you out? Can you just sit down and have coffee with the Father? Let me just tell you. I don't think you always, not always, sometime, I don't think you always need to be like this. Yeah, cool. I don't think you always need to be, because I'm not that way with my natural father. My natural father, pick up the phone. Hey, Dad, what's going on? How you doing? Now, lest you think that the relationship you have with the Father God needs to be super casual, I'm not after a, hear me now, I'm not after the, well, he's the big guy in the sky. I think it's a little too casual for somebody who knows. I know better. But I do think that God is very interested in spending time with you in your everyday living. So that at Starbucks, and while you're going to Starbucks or walking out, you can be carrying your coffee, having a conversation with God. Can I say it that way? You on the skateboard, and then you're skateboarding, and you can have a conversation with God. We have the access to have a new relationship with God. And I just want to encourage you, take advantage of your new relationship. I cycle, like some of y'all know. That's my thing. I like to bicycle. And there's a guy that I ride with, and he posted something on Facebook yesterday or the day before that I read the whole thing. A lot of times, you know, you see the stories, and then when you have to click down there, see more, you know what I'm saying? That see more button, and you go, how much more am I going to have to see? Is anybody out there? So, you know, I want to make sure I don't, you know, it's not going to be like 17 pages I got to read, somebody, whatever, especially during political season. Come on, everybody. By the way, just throw this out there. Why don't you just not be so political right now? Everybody's got a line. Everybody's got a fence. Why don't you believe what you believe and leave the rest to everybody else? Amen. Come on, let's do what the Bible says. Let's pray. Come on, everybody, let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for the next president. Pray for these people that are running right now, because both candidates need prayer. That's about as political as I'm going to get. My friend who I cycle with, he wrote this article, the thing on Facebook post, and here's what he said. He said, I'm writing this article to let you know what a fool I've been, and I don't want you to be like me. So I want to bare my soul for a few minutes, so just read on and let me tell you the story. He said, a couple hours north of here is my grandfather. He's in the Navy, mind you. World War II veteran who regularly would call me. Who regularly would ask me, can you bring the kids up? Can you and the wife come up? And I always had excuses. It's far away. I got my own life down here. You know, I mean, I love Grandpa. We talk on the phone, but I never went, never drove to hours away. Always had something else to do. Always had an excuse. Now, this week, on Wednesday, Grandpa died. And so now, I can't talk to him. Now, he's gone. Now, when he'd want to sit around and talk to me about stories, talk to me about life, tell me what happened in World War II that I was really interested in, now I squandered my opportunity. Isn't it sad that we all have all these agendas and so much going on that there's a relationship that's right in front of us called a relationship with a loving, heavenly, compassionate, merciful, graceful Father who wants to talk to you and me and wants us to be open and desires a relationship with you and me. And somehow, my life included, we make excuses about how much time and all this. The relationship that you have access to, let me encourage you, don't squander the opportunity. He is there for you, and He wants to have influence in every area of your life. Every Christian has access as they've entered into this new relationship to know God. Paul actually said, I want to know Him. Paul the Apostle, I want to know Him. Now, this is a dude that saw Jesus appear. This is a dude that had visions and dreams. This is a guy that was preaching all over the continent of Europe. And he still says after years, I'm still in a passionate pursuit to know Him. To know Him. I know I'm saved. I know He loves me. But I want to know more and more about this new relationship I can have with the Father through the person Jesus Christ. Amen, everybody? Take advantage of what belongs to you. Billy Graham said this. The second thing that he said that we have access to is a new citizenship. A new citizenship, which is just simply phenomenal because, you know, we're Americans. Everybody in the room, you're in this country, whether you were born somewhere else, I'll just throw that out there. Whether you're Mexican-American or you're whatever American, most of us are probably, you know, from this country. And so as a citizen of the country, it's amazing. We think like the country we're in. We were at a meeting. We went to Tennessee to see my mom this past week, and then we were in Alabama at a conference. And it's amazing at this conference, there's people from all over the United States, but there's also people from different countries. And so people from, it was interesting, there was a guy from, he was from Switzerland. And when he showed up, how many know he had a different dialect? Even though he was speaking and asking questions and talking, I was, you know, in English, he had a different dialect, and he was dressed European. You could, you know, he had some of those clam diggers on. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You know, clam diggers. Y'all know what clam diggers are? Come on, work with me, guys. Work. You guys are looking at me like a blank stare this morning. Like, come on, is everybody out there? Is it hot? Are you melting? Does anybody need the ice water? No? Okay. There we go. And so he had these clam diggers on. You kind of went, well, you know, he might not be from here. And so every person in a different country, they have a different, they just look a little different. They speak a little different. They process whatever's going on in the world differently because they are of a citizen of that country. Now, the Bible says when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that you passed from death to life, from darkness to light. The Bible says that now, here's the key for us, we have got to continually put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and put on the new man, the man that is made after the citizenship of heaven. That is our job. The Bible actually calls us now ambassadors for Christ. We're not from America or whatever country you're from. We are from a spiritual place called heaven. And we're living here on the earth to represent, to represent the principles of God and Jesus and the Father to a lost and a dying world. Come on, everybody. We're a new citizen. Come on, we're a new kind of person. We're a new kind of people. So much so that the Bible uses this phrase over and over. It calls you and I now in Him or in Christ. It doesn't even say really you're saved. Over the terminology in the Bible doesn't say you're a Christian. It doesn't even say you're a believer. It uses some of those, but the majority of the time, it uses the phrase that now you are identified as being in Christ. That's my identity. I'm in Christ. So I don't identify. I'm just not a white guy. I'm just not an economic guy or whatever I'm at. I'm just not educated, whatever my education is. I leave all that alone, and my identity is I'm in Christ. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm connected with Jesus. The God is my Father. Otherwise, we get in these race wars, and we get in these economic wars. They have, and I don't have. And we get in this crazy gender war. If we're not careful, our identity is in Christ. How you doing there? Or are you still thinking, I'm a woman, and so you ain't counting me. I'm just saying that. Or, I'm a man, and you're going to... Or you're thinking, I could never be because I don't make this. Your identity, your citizenship is in heaven. And so now my identity lines up with who I really am. And listen to me, that's a lifelong pursuit. That's just a lifelong pursuit. You're never going to get past that because your identity is going to try to hijack you all the time. Listen to me, your old identity. And you know what? You know, stolen identity is a bazillion dollar business right now. Somebody is trying to rip your stuff off right now. Because if they can get you, get where you live, and get your social security number. And I don't know if you guys watch 60 Minutes and all that stuff now, but there was a dude recently, and he said, you know, talking about your passwords. You know, we were talking to a guy in the church now that knows a lot of that stuff, and about what you need to be doing with your passwords. Like you need to have lowercase and uppercase and some of those other characters in there. You need to have at least 16 characters, 16. You know, and I said, 16? You know, I said, yeah, man, you need at least 16. Because if you don't, it's so easy to bust into your stuff. And they had a thing on 60 Minutes, and there was this guru, this tech guru, hey, can't bust into my stuff. And the guy was there for 5 minutes. Fuck, got all your accounts right there they are. 5 minutes. That's how easy it is naturally to bust in your stuff. Can I tell you how easy it is to bust in your stuff spiritually? Devil says, you ain't going to make it. You're a loser. Look at your past. Most people go, you're right. You're right. Never going to make it. Look at my past. How can I? You're a new citizen. You got to find yourself in Christ. Amen. That's what your identity is. Amen. Don't let anybody steal your identity. Don't let them steal your identity. I'm not talking about you, who you are and your accomplishments and your education. No. Who you really are in Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody mess with that, because that is your strength. You're a citizen of heaven. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Amen. I know I'm preaching pretty good up here on this hot Sunday. Third thing that we found out, and I don't know, think we got here last time. Billy Graham said, you not only have a new relationship, you not only have a new citizenship, but you're part of a new family. So come on, poke your neighbor and say, welcome, family. Come on, welcome, family. Come on, family. Come on, just tell them, you're looking good, fam. Come on, you're looking good, fam. Just look at them and say, I'm going to your house for lunch today, right? Come on, because we're fam, right? Because we're fam. We're fam. That's what we are. So listen, you're connected. You're connected spiritually with Christians everywhere. You're connected spiritually with Christians everywhere, and specifically in the church. That's this new family. You know, we went to a conference, and there was 2,400 people in this one conference, you know, that we were at. And so you're there, and there's just a spiritual connection. You just, come on, it's just like your spirit's connected with other people in the body of Christ. You know what I'm talking about? That you just get around people and just go, you are my kind of people. Come on, because they love God, they're passionate, they're worshiping God. I said, man, I like you. You're, come on, me and you are connected. We're connected. So we're connected with people that love God, love Jesus, love the Father all across the world. But specifically, you and I are connected with the local family in this thing called church. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Can we do that? Come on, so about 20 minutes. I want to mess with you. I want to agitate you a little bit. I want to challenge you along these lines. Because hear me, if you'll get this right, I guarantee your life will change. Guaranteed. If you'll get this right. Because God's a genius. When you and I get born again, He does what every good father does. He'll put you in a family. Listen to me. Let me say something sharp. So hear me clear. God does not father children and put them in a basket at the fire station because that's a safe place. Because I can't care for them. God does not abort children. He fathers them, and He puts them in a family. He puts them in a family. He doesn't leave them by themselves to try to make it on their own. He doesn't bring them forth as moms can attest, as that baby comes out of them, out of their womb, and still connected by the umbilical cord. He doesn't cut the cord and just hope you make it. He's there to connect them with their mother and prayerfully their father. You need family. And let me say it this way. I am really pleased if you've got a great family that's a natural family. I was raised in a phenomenal home. Mom and dad loved God. Went to church all the time. Kimberly's mom and dad, they were preachers, man. Went to church all the time. Her brother served God. My family served God. Now my kids, all four of them, love God. With their spouses, serving God. But that cannot be the only family I am connected with. Because if you don't have that kind of family, you still have access to a greater kind of family called a spiritual family. A spiritual family. And so maybe you were raised in a house that didn't know God at all, but maybe had a father or mother that provided for you. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. It's awesome. You need to honor that. The Bible talks about that. But now you have access to a new family that is called the church, where there must be constant understanding and constant resolve to not disconnect from what God said, Jesus said, I'm going to build, Matthew 16, my church. I'm going to build it. Do you know that Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against my church? He never said, I'm going to build your family and the gates of hell won't prevail against your family. He is knowing if you got a family, if you get them in church, you're going to prevail. You can have the greatest family, live in the greatest neighborhood, drive the greatest cars, go on the blessedest vacations possible. But if you are not connected with a family in church, let me tell you, you're missing it. You're missing it. He is going to build you relationally with people in a local church. And you are going to have to fight to stay connected. Connected. Look at me at this scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 and 5. Romans 12. For I say through the grace given to me, Paul says this, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God's dealt to everyone the measure of faith. He just says, don't think you're it. And, you know, don't think more highly of yourself. Think highly of yourself, just not more highly of yourself. And he says, verse 4, for as we have many members, notice, many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Notice again, verse 5, we being many, many are one body in Christ. So got to be connected to Christ. We're many, but we're connected to Him. But He doesn't stop there. He says, and individually we're members of one another. So He says, yeah, it's vitally important. You have to be connected to Christ. You have to know that Jesus is Lord. He's your Savior. When you do that, you're born again. You're a child of God. That changes everything. But you have to be connected to one another. You've got to be membering one another. If you're not, you're missing it. You're never going to be who God's called you to be if you're not connected with somebody else in a local church. A local church. You have to be connected with something bigger than yourself. Bigger than yourself. You have to be connected with people who are going in the same direction you're going, who are thinking the same way you're thinking, who are believing the same way you're believing. It's of great, great necessity. I don't believe that anybody needs to go through life and is supposed to go through life alone. Isolation is a punishment. Isolation is not a blessing. It's not. People are put in isolation at Donovan Prison. 23 hours a day, they're isolated. They're isolated, some. It's a punishment. Some people in psychiatric wards, they're isolated because they're bringing hurt to themselves or hurt to others. It's for protection, it's punishment. God does not want you to go through life isolated. We said this, I don't know if we told you or not or asked you the question. Don't answer it, throw it out loud, just think in your head. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, this morning coming up. Your teenage son just burst through the door. He's messed up, he's tore up, he just wrecked the car, he's on drugs, he's going, who are you calling right now? Who are you calling? You got three people? You got three people? Listen, three people that are dropping everything and they're there? If you don't have that, then you might need to work on that. Because it's revealing that you might be living right now in isolation, even when you're interacting with other people. In the church, this new family, there has to be an element where you are open. Listen to me. I've got about 3 or 4 pastor friends, buddies, a couple on my board, that if all hell breaks loose, I'm calling them now. I know they'd drop everything and be here. I know that. Do you have that? And if you don't, I'm imploring you that you work on that. I read something about isolation. Let me read this to you real quick. Studies of elderly people and social isolation concluded that those without adequate social interaction were twice as likely to die prematurely. So what that tells me is the older you get, the more friends you better have. So I'm in Tennessee. Mom's 82. And I say, hey, Mom. You know, she's married to her husband, Jerry. You know, I know y'all married, but you have any friends? You hanging out? You getting together? You going doing lunch? Come on. You are you walking around the block? Who are you hanging with? Oh, she's, you know, them. You know, church, you know. Yeah. I said, oh, cool. Good, Mom. Want you living long, Mom. Isolation. The thought went on to say, studies, that people that live isolated, their immune system starts not working properly. They're susceptible, increased susceptibility to type 2 diabetes. Inflammation increases. Isolation messes with your physical body. Isolation. It's not a blessing. So here's the thought. Here's the other side. I can hear some of y'all thinking, well, you know, I got friends, but come on. I'm not talking about Facebook friends. I'm not talking about Instagram friends. I'm not talking about when you Snapchat and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about real people that maybe aren't your family, but are spiritual friends in church who know you, who are going to speak the word of your life, who are going to be there with you when all hell's going on. Do you have that? And if not, then let me encourage you. You need to work on this. You need to work on this. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, come on, 2 are better than 1. Because if he falls, he has somebody to lift him up. Can I tell you? You're going to fall. Oh, don't be prophesying that curse over me. No, I'm just telling you. You're going to fall. You're going to fall emotionally. You're going to fall maybe financially. You're going to fall maybe with some sin. You're going to fall. It's just who's going to be there to pick you up. Well, I'm just going to rely on the Lord, and it's just the Lord. That's not what it said. That's not what it said. Because James 5 says, confess your faults to one another. Oh, and be healed. So it's just not this. I got to have this going on. And this sometimes is scary. Can I be real with you? And I'm not saying you need to be a friend to everybody, because you don't want anybody to be your friend. But you got to have a couple of friends. Can a preacher get a little help up in here today? Hey, am I telling the truth? Come on, am I telling the truth? Sometimes it's just hard to hear that. But we need friends. Godly friends. In church friends. Not where like you say, you know, hey, pray for me. See, I got a couple different message chats I'm a part of since I'm cycling. Okay? And so like yesterday we were cycling and we were doing a big 70-mile deal and one of the dudes went down. Okay, he went down back behind me. Three bikes down. He crashed, busted up his helmet. Man, he was okay, but the wife took him to the hospital. She's a nurse to make sure he's okay. Light concussion. And so, you know, you want to pray for me. Will you do that, huh? Like pray, no weapon formed against my preaching, man. You want to prosper. Come on, everybody. Come on. I would say keep the rubber on the road. The bike don't come up, right? Come on, somebody. Rubber down. But you know, it's interesting. The message board, it's like people go, you know, praying for you. Thumbs up. Like, and they do, come on. You know the little thing? Got the little thing? Come on, you know. Come on, you know. You know what I'm talking about. You know the little hands together with the thing? So here's my question. Are they really? Or they're just sending me an emoji? Come on, somebody. It's easy to emoji all day. Come on, help me. Isn't that right? Come on. But are you really? Do I have anybody that is really going to pray with me? Can I tell you? Right around up in the room in here. If you'll develop relationships with people around you, and you'll be able to open up your life and connect with people, in a day of trial and calamity, you will remain strong. Because you've developed relationships with this kind of family. Real quick, 1 Corinthians 12. Come on, let's get a couple more scriptures here before we let you go, because it's getting hot in here. And the air conditioner's on. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. Notice what it says. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Come on, look around. Just say many members. Come on, look at that. Many members. Many, not just one, but it's many members. Look, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear, verse 16, should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? So Paul's using the body as an example, saying the hand can't say, man, I'm not a shoulder, so I must not be anything. Or the foot can't say, you know, man, I'm not like a sexy leg. Come on, I'm just a nasty foot with some corns on it. I must not be part of it. So notice what he says twice, though. I never saw it before reading this for years. I've been reading this 30 years, and I never saw it till I saw it this past couple weeks. Notice what he says in verse 15 and 16. He says, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I'm not the hand. Verse 16, if the ear should say, because I am not an eye. The enemy is always going to try to tell you what you're not. What you're not. You're not like them. You're never going to have a job like them. You can't sing like them. Wow, look at them. Look at the ability in their life. I'm not. But when you're connected, you understand that the only way come on, can I say it this way without being offensive? The only way Sister Sexy Leg gets around is if she has corny feet. Can I say it that way without being offensive? Maybe I was offensive. I don't know. Maybe I was. Just trying to be real up in here. Just trying to be real. You got to be connected. So don't live in the I am not. That's where the devil will try to keep you. You have to stay and get connected. You got to get connected. We said this last couple of weeks. Maybe I didn't tell you or not. Connection causes affection and fights off rejection. Connection causes affection. What do you mean? When you're connected with somebody, all of a sudden your heart starts changing towards them. Your heart starts changing. Some people are looking for a heart change. What you need is a connection change. If you just say, I'm going to be connected, I make a decision, I'm going to be connected, I'm going to make a decision, this is my church, I'm going to make a decision, I'm going to be involved, make a decision, then when I'm connected, all of a sudden my affection changes, and when my affection changes, that immediately fights off rejection. I'm needed here. I'm appreciated here. And just to make a difference what the devil says and what's going on out there, this is my family right up in here. It needs to be like Cheers. Can I say it that way? The bar back in the 80s show, I used to watch it all the time, where the song is, where everybody knows your name. Now, I'm not saying everybody in the whole church knows your name, but you got family in here, and you're connecting here, and you're serving, and you get involved in a circle, a small group, and you get open, and you get healed, and you start reaching other people that are just like you, and realize everybody has got some skeletons in the closet. Everybody's got some stuff. And I don't think you need to get everybody to go, I got... But you do need to have a couple of people that you can be open with. I won't put it on Facebook or Instagram. I won't go telling everybody. Real people who are concerned about you and everything about your life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But you got to love your neighbor as yourself. How are you going to do that unless you're connected in the family? Well, I just love everybody. No, you don't. Not unless you're connected. You ain't showing that. You ain't demonstrating that. That's where you lay down your life for somebody else. It happens here in the church. And it will fight off rejection. Rejection in your life. The act of connecting causes you to appreciate other people. Causes you to appreciate other people. Hey man, I'm just the foot. I'm not the leg. I'm not the hip. Come on. I ain't got the six pack going on. I got the keg happening up in here. But I'm telling you, I've got a part. And my part is only going to be valid if I stay connected. I invalidate the part when I disconnect. You cut off this beautiful hand with bones and tissues and tendons and ligaments and crazy things and phalanges and all that stuff going on. You cut that off. It's going to be okay for a little while, but pretty soon it's going to start turning purple. Pretty soon, there's not going to be anything twitching. It's done. It's been disconnected. It's been severed. So I don't care how strong you are, how cool you are, how good you look by yourself. Of no use unless you're connected. The devil will always fight us here, guys. So we have a new family. And the new family demands that we stay connected. So let me just kind of close right here. Because I know I've been doing this for years now, you know, so I know my nature and I know all of our natures. And so I've heard this forever, you know. People who never connect generally say things like, well, you know, no one likes me. No one likes me. Or they're just stuck up and they're cliquish and you know, I tried and, you know, I tried. Let me just say this real bold, since we've been bold all day. Maybe more bold. You need to fight past your insecurities, because that is your insecurities coming out. Why are you saying that? Because I know me. I know me. And I'd go to pastor's meetings with, you know, Kimberly, and, you know, you're around all these guys that maybe you admire, you respect, that I would know, and they'd be around, and you come up, and they're like talking, and they're like in a little group or something, and you can't ever get in. And so you just kind of like chill out to the side, and you just don't ever connect. You don't ever relate. And so you're there, but you're never connected. And they're talking about, oh yeah, man, on Easter, we had 90,000 people in church. And you're kind of going, Jesus. And so you're listening, devaluing yourself, saying, I am not. So I must not be important. That is the voice of the devil. Amen. Trying to get you isolated. And if you're isolated, your immune system doesn't function. You start breaking down inside. You start thinking crazy thoughts. Have you ever watched the movie The Shining? Don't. 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 Some of you are Netflixing it right now. I just lost you right now in church. Help us in this generation, oh God. You need to press past your own insecurities. And let me just say this. Some of you need to press past your own disinterest. I'm just not interested in anybody else. Just not interested. I do my own thing. I want to come in. I want to be by myself. Don't talk to me about that. When a family is designed by God to be there with you at your highs and at your lows, and not judge and condemn and criticize, but just simply be there to lift you up. That's what family is all about. And you have access to a new kind of family. So the question is, are you taking advantage of the new family? And if not, I want to challenge you to begin asking yourself some tough questions. Why am I not connected? How come I don't go to a circle? Tonight we got a meeting at 6:00. And so automatically when I say that, maybe you go, I'm not coming. Why? 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 The devil tries to isolate. The devil tries to sever. Even though you're a beautiful hand and you can do some amazing things, you got to be connected. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. Iron sharpens iron. And when iron hits iron, the first thing that happens is sparks. Because there's something on me that needs to get busted off before it's made into something stronger. Get connected. Come on, get connected. A new relationship, a new citizenship, and you have access now to a new kind of family. Come on, stand up. Would you do that? Dear Heavenly Father, right now I pray for every person in the room. I pray, Lord God, that the words I've spoken, even though as sharp sometimes and pointed sometimes, wouldn't come across as being negative or critical of the condition they're in right now. But, Father God, that would begin to awaken them to your heart and your spirit and what you want to do in their lives today. Father, I thank you that we won't leave here the same, that you're going to challenge us about this new relationship we can have with you. You're going to challenge us about this new citizenship that we're now in Christ. We don't have to live life identified. I'm a teenager. I'm white. I'm Hispanic. I'm black. I'm Asian. I make $25,000 a year. I make $450,000 a year. I'm a woman. I'm a man. No. We're going to identify as being in Christ. And Father, I pray that we all would take steps today to understand that we have access to a new kind of family, a heavenly family, a spiritual family. Father God, I pray that you'd move us today, move us one step closer, one step closer, just one step. So right there where you're at, would you do that? Would you take a step toward him? If you've been saved, take a step toward him and asking yourself some challenging questions about what we've talked about. If you don't know Jesus, would you take a step to say, I want to be open to him today. I want to be open to him today. While your head's bowed, your eyes closed, come on, just give everybody the right to privacy. I just want to see by just a show of hands, and this isn't for like a prayer, just if today's message is just kind of challenging in an area. You just say, yeah, hey, man, that was just talking to me. That's it. Just come on. Just lift up your hand and put it down. Anybody? Just lift it up, put it down. Yeah, talking to me. Yeah, talking to me. Yeah, cool. Good. Good. Look here at me, everybody. My life was just radically changed. If you don't know me, I was raised in church all my life. And the church I went to, the preacher would give him say, hey, anybody want to know Jesus? Then you need to turn from your sins and follow him. And if you come up to the front after the service, and it was a Baptist church, and there was an elder there, and I was 8 years old. I walked up here, and I was kind of shaking, like, you know, I don't know what was going to happen. And so he led me in a prayer. Then I sat back down, and the elder came up, put his hand on my shoulder, and I wrote down my name. I mean, they knew my mom and dad, but that's kind of what they did. Wrote down my name, and then, man, after that, I got water baptized, a little 8-year-old kid. But, man, I didn't live like it for 12 years. 12 years, a long time. Something happened, though, between my second and third year university. I knew I was broken, knew I was away from God. Go to church all the time, but away from God. It's amazing. You can be in church and away from God. It's kind of crazy to think about. That was me. That night, though, I mean, something happened that night, man. I'll tell you what, just turned. And my life was forever changed. And so maybe that's you. Maybe just say, hey, you know, I've been around it, but I've never been really in it. You know, if that's you, I'm going to be right down here at the front. I'd love to just talk to you, pray for you, pray with you. And I like to say it this way, introduce you or reintroduce you to a loving Heavenly Father who's got your best interests, who wants to know you and wants you to realize he's got a great, great plan for your life. That's not all right? Hey, tonight we're going to be back at 6 o'clock. Jeff Osborne's going to be here. Come on, I'd love for you to be here. He's going to be coming, bringing a hot, hot word. And I believe it's going to be something you need to hear. If you're interested in Bible school, Jim Gwynn's going to be straight out those double doors there. Find out some information about Bible school coming up right now in about 3 or 4 weeks. So he's out there to answer your questions. God bless you. Have an amazing Sunday. Amen.